May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love the passage that Ron read because it says something about the heart of the Lord and also the heart of people. It says tax collectors and sinners who aren't left in that condition if they're crooked tax collectors, and most of them were in that day, that when they come to Christ, he changes them. But it's those who draw near to hear the Lord because they understand their own need. It's the Pharisees, the ones who don't draw near. And that Jesus is never stunned at our need for repentance. God rejoices in a repentant heart much more than he does in the heart of a Pharisee who pretends they don't ever need repentance. It's just amazing to me. This is Revelation chapter 1. I think Revelation 1 is one of the most profoundly foundational chapters in all the Bible. Revelation 1 says this, "And he made us, verse 6, to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." In Exodus chapter 19, this is really a quote from that. It says, "He made us a kingdom of priests." And of course, we are part of a kingdom, the kingdom of God. 1 Peter speaks about our priesthood, our royal priesthood. And the truth is that those of us who are called priests, or comes from the word presbyter, we represent the priesthood of all the believers. All of us are priests before God. In that sense, male or female, children or grown-ups, we all have that calling. But I think what we sometimes miss is what the real chief calling of a priest is. In 1 Chronicles, verse 13, it says, "The sons of Amram were Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was set apart to sanctify him as most holy, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name forever." I like this one in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 11. "My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and to minister to him and to be his ministers and burn incense." And that's really the calling for every believer. Every Christian has that same calling. You know, every Christian is called to be a priest in the sense that we're all called to stand before him and to minister to him, to love him, to worship him, and to adore him. The first and great commandment: we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all of our strength. Every one of you, us, we have the same calling. And then he says, after that, to bless in his name, or to minister in his name. Ministry never comes first. We're called to minister. We're called to carry the kingdom. We're called to destroy the works of the devil. We're called to continue the ministry of Jesus. But Jesus' first calling as a priest himself was to minister to his Father, and to cultivate his Father's presence, to be a true worshiper, to be a true adorer. We get that backwards sometimes. Christians really get that backwards. I think the ministry comes first. Ministry is secondary. It flows out of your ministry to him. But there's a place in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 20, that says a number of things that disqualify a person from being a priest. And one of those things are scabs, which is really interesting. Scabs are not a very fun subject to talk about. But what scabs are a healing wound, but a wound is not yet healed. And it's like the Lord is saying that even though we're called to minister to him and to minister in his name, to bless in his name, unhealed wounds prevent us from doing that very effectively. It prevents you from being a true worshiper. It keeps us from the wonder, the restful wonder and joyful wonder of blessing in his name, to bless him, and then from that place, bless in his name. It sort of makes things get mixed up. There's a place in John chapter 8, verse 44, that says that the devil, he's a liar and the father of lies. And in Matthew 12, 24, it refers to him as Beelzebub. And the word Beelzebub, I'm sure you know, means Lord of the Flies. And flies are drawn to dead things, and flies are also drawn to wounds. And history records the fact that there have been some battles that were so great, especially in ancient history before they took very good care of the wounded on the field, when you'd have tens of thousands of people wounded on the field, that the flies would be in such swarm, the noise of the swarm was so loud you couldn't hear yourself think. Because flies are drawn to dying things or dead things. And when he says we're called to be a kingdom of priests, and your first calling is to minister to him, worship him, be a worshiper, and to bless in his name. I just know that when we get wounded, when I get wounded, and I allow that wound to heal, the father of lies is also the father of flies, and he sends swarms of flies to that wounded place, and it creates all kind of deceptions. Then your mind burns with warfare, because you know the warfare is always mostly between your two ears, right? I mean, it can affect our bodies, those kind of things, but where the real battle is fought every day is in our thought life, between our two ears. And that's where the lies come. And when you have a wound, and it can be an ancient wound that's never really been healed up, or a recent wound that's not healed up, that you don't let get healed up, the devil takes advantage of that. And he sends swarms of flies, which are lies, that attack us. And when you're in that kind of battle and dealing with issues like resentment and fear and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, it's very hard to be a true worshiper. Worshiping God, loving him, is a joyful thing. But it's hard to be a good lover of God when you're entertaining these lies of the devil because you still have an unhealed wound. And then it's very impossible to have the compassion of God that flows out of being a true worshiper, that flows out of the secret place with him. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to carry the compassion of Christ that he nurtures and deposits in his presence out to others, because we're just consumed with ourselves. Spiritual warfare mainly makes us extraordinarily self-centered as we deal with these lies of the devil that come at us. This is a word the Lord just was encouraging me in, is because all of us get wounded from time to time. Ministers particularly get wounded from time to time because they're called to lay their life down as vocation. And they get hurt and disappointed and they feel betrayed and all those kind of things that we go through. Wah, 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 wah. It's just going to happen. We live in a fallen world. We've hurt people ourselves. All of us have hurt others, even if we didn't intend to and have been hurt. But you'll never be who God's called you to be. See, foundationally, as a priest, is who you're called to be. That's your true calling in life. It may look in different ways vocationally. But foundationally, you're called to be a priest, and you cannot be that with scabs, with unhealed wounds, because you're living in deception. Lies are deceptions. It may seem true when you're hurt. Those things that you think, they seem so real, don't they? They seem so present. They seem so threatening. But they're just lies from the enemy. The enemy's a father of lies. And here he's so good at it. Everything he tells you that's a lie has an element of truth to it. He doesn't knock on the door of your mind dressed up like a red devil with a long tail and long horns and go, "Hello, I'm the devil. I'm here to destroy your life." He comes to you in the form of what appears to be truth because he speaks facts. But he doesn't speak from a throne room's perspective. And the whole thing is to put enough lies in you in that unhealed place that he cripples you and paralyzes you from being who you're called to be. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.